Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks again for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Well, I've got some exciting news for everyone tonight, if you can hang on long enough to hear it. And I also want to go into 3 different books to pull out for you some information that gives us a deeper understanding of what it's like to live as an empath, which I am. Also use creative visualization as it pertains to manifestation, which I do. And the law of attraction, which is attracting to you things that you think you want, but doesn't necessarily always end up that way, which is happening to me. So let's start with the real interesting information that I hope some of you will actually look into. A few months back, I applied to be a speaker at a UFO mega conference that's going to be held in Las Vegas from March 19th to the 27th, yes, a 9-day conference in 2022. I was notified about a week and a half ago that they would like me to be one of their featured workshop presenters for this conference, and my amount of time would be approximately, like they all are, about an hour and a half. And so I thought to myself, how and what do I do to make a really interesting quote-unquote workshop experience for people? And I'm still in the works of working out those details in my mind, but one of the main purposes as to why I wanted to speak at this conference was to bring forth and share a lot of the experiences that I've been having for numerous years and bring them out to the forefront to see if anyone might be able to give me some answers. So basically, in a nutshell, I'm excited for this opportunity and I'm grateful because there are some experiences that I'm pretty sure most people and that'll be attending in that room will have never have gone through before. So I want to give you a little bit of information about this conference and see if maybe it might interest you in coming out. Granted, right now as I tape this, and I will be bringing this up again, the airfares seem, in my opinion, a bit obnoxious. And no matter which way you cut it, it seems like even the budget airlines are charging a lot of money right now to go out to Las Vegas, which, by the way, has usually been for me one of the most inexpensive trips outside of gambling, of course, just to get out there. So I don't know if there's just a lot of stuff going on in March, and that's why the amounts of airfares are obnoxious, or whether or not there's another reason behind all that. So putting that aside, if you're even remotely interested in going out to Las Vegas in March to this conference, please start looking into the airfares going out there. Let me tell you a little bit about what's going to happen at this conference. So it's my understanding that there should be approximately 35 main speakers, where everybody gets the opportunity to listen to each speaker on a daily basis. Okay, that's the first thing. Now, I don't know if they're going to sell to the general public tickets to see these speakers, as they will with the workshop presenters, but I guess even I will learn more about that in the next month or two when they finally get more information up on their website, and then they start offering these presentations, especially the workshops, for various amounts of money. So about 35 main speakers, researchers, experiencers, people in the field that can offer something up on the UFO / probably paranormal experience. That's one. Up to 50 workshop presenters. I know that that's even interesting to me, because you will have a lot to choose from, but these workshops are going to be sold to the public, just like you would if you went out to see a Las Vegas show. You don't have to attend the whole conference. You can go out there, be there for a couple of days, know that there's workshops going on that you can buy a ticket to, and lo and behold, probably come out of Las Vegas with at least a little bit of interesting stuff in your suitcase, rather than going home with less money, provided you are a gambler. Okay, so that's going to be interesting. And those tickets and those Workshops will probably not be online, from what I understand, for another month, month and a half. Right now, they're trying to load all of the presenters and the speakers, the workshop speakers, and my biography is online for any of you interested in wanting to see it. It's a little lengthy, but it's very thorough, and I think I've kind of made my point to whomever might be looking at it as to what I'm intending to do at the workshop. So the title of my workshop and how you get to it. First, let's get to it. So go into www.ufomegacon.com. UFOMEGACON.com. That'll get you into their website. Then you'll just kind of scroll to like the middle of the tab bar, and you'll see, I think it says 2022 conference. Then click on that. It'll arrow you down to who the speakers are right now being loaded, and then also same with the workshop presenters. And so you scroll down and click on the workshops, and then scroll down some more. You'll see all the dates that they offer these workshops on, so that'll be very helpful to you. And then you should be able to see my biography. You'll see my face, you'll see my name, you'll see my presentation. It's going to be called Haunted Life, Stalked by Unexplained Paranormal Extraterrestrial Pests. And the gist of doing this workshop is to bring forth a lot of my most unusual experiences and basically go into problem solving or whatever with the audience members during this time. Well, and of course I give fabulous gifts that will be at the end to all attendees that will be there. And then guess what? I'm also going to be at a meet and greet table. Oh my gosh, right? A meet and greet table. I am really on the fence if I should have an autograph picture already made. I cannot see people flocking to me. I have to be quite honest with you. This is a new experience for me. I'm not used to this stuff. And so I can't even begin to imagine what it's like to be standing there at a table waiting for people to approach you and asking for your autograph or even take a picture. Here, I'd rather give you one of my pictures. Don't take a picture because I'm probably going to look pretty tired. What else can I say about this? If you're listening to this right now and you're considering coming out to Vegas March 19th through the 22nd, 7th, excuse me, March 19th through the 27th, I will be presenting on March 22nd from 8:30 to 10 o'clock a.m., okay, 8:30 to 10 a.m. at Bally's. You just find the registration people, go ahead and buy yourself a ticket. Get out to Las Vegas and enjoy whatever's to be enjoyed and come and see me. And so if you do come and see me, by the way, please mention that you listen to me on my radio show. I think what I'll do is I'll bring out an extra gift just for you. Probably I'll have to give it at the meet and greet table. Okay, so just an FYI in case you're coming out. What else can I tell you? Just a lot of interesting stuff, research, experiences. I guess, you know, there's people doing workshops that are going to teach you how to bend a spoon. There are people that are going to teach you a little bit about manifestation. There's all kinds of workshop topics that you can choose from. And let's hope that, you know, I'm interesting enough on my day where people don't have to struggle between this workshop or another one. So anyway, there you go. More on this as we get closer to probably January, February, because if this is in March 19th, you know that they'll want people to start signing up for the workshops. The workshops are open to the general public. They will start at $20, going up depending on what the workshop person wants to set it at. Mine's down on the lower end, so I can get those that are actually attending the conference a nice reasonable rate to come and see me. And so this is general public. Great opportunity. Don't have to be locked into a 9-day conference, but you know what? Really, really good people are going to be there, so consider it. So, and look into the airfare, all right? Because I don't think it's going to get better. I think it's going to actually get a little worse. So, okay, that's on the mega. That's the UFO Mega Conference held in Las Vegas, Nevada, March 19th through 27th, 2022. With my workshop presentation being presented at 8:30 to 10 o'clock a.m., reasonable ticket price, very reasonable, at Bally's. All right. What else should I blab about before I get into what we're going to talk about this evening? One of the things that people take for granted sometimes is whether or not someone is going to be around the next day. I am just going to give a worthy shout out to two individuals that I interviewed on my program within the last maybe year and a half to 3 years. I have been rerunning some of their shows. It's a very unusual coincidence, though, that I would rerun a show of one of them who recently passed away from COVID. A very, very good guest and very helpful to the world. This gentleman, Peter James Haviland, was a hypnotherapist and had the ability to locate missing children. And he had located as many as 200 missing children. Now, I haven't talked to Mr. Haviland for a while. Sometimes when you do interviews, you get the interview and then you move on to the next one. You know, that's kind of how it works. But the sad part about all this and the interesting part about all this is that, yes, apparently he had COVID. And I know what that's all about. Nearly dying exactly 1 year from me speaking to you right now, twice of it, not being able to be in a hospital because they had no room for me. But Mr. Haviland, I would assume, was in the hospital. And I'm very sad to hear that he passed. When I reran his first show, he had died on that day. When I reran his second show, which was last night, he was buried on that day. This just absolutely puts me in a place of, I don't know what that was all about, but news came to me and I thought, what an unusual coincidence that I would be. But I hope that the shows know to Mr. Haviland, who is now in another place, that call them my tribute to you and my thanks again for what you gave to this show. For those of you wanting to hear those shows, it will, of course, it's on Podomatic, www.paranormaluniversalpress.com. Click on the Podomatic tab up near the right-hand side. That'll bring you into my website with, I think I'm going just past 85 shows now. Scroll down to, I cannot recall, it's in one of the lower numbers, but his name is Peter Haviland, and I had part one and part two with this man. He was more than gracious to give me the time. So may he rest in peace. The other person who has survived COVID barely was also another guest on my show. She is at home right now, probably still working her way through the damage that it created. I'm very familiar with what it's like to be a long haul hauler with COVID and the damage it can do to a person. She was apparently in the hospital last March in a coma, and they had to keep putting her in a coma because of what this was doing to her body, et cetera, and what they're trying to do to save her life. Then she had 3 months at home, and I know what it's like to have basically home health care. You are absolutely at the mercy of everything, including this virus. So I'm giving a shout out to this woman who was on my program probably a year, year and a half ago. And she is the one who also brought to my attention, by the way, the situation in Las Vegas when I was in the hotel room. And something very unusual happened to me, especially overnight in that room. And she had mentioned that something was there checking my blood. And then it was found out within weeks afterwards, I had cancer. I am a cancer survivor. As I speak, I'm cancer free. But the experience with what I believe to be some type of an alien form, extraterrestrial form, not necessarily paranormal, was there, because the next day when I woke up, I felt different. I felt like my body had been cleansed or something. I've had it only one other time. And then, of course, within the last year or so, I had that blood red handprint show up on my body. To this day, I can't tell you if it was UFO / extraterrestrial related, but I'm not quite sure it was paranormal related. So anyway, shout out to both of them. My prayers, my love, and my thanks to everything that they have done to make this show stand a little bit on its own. Okay, I am now going to get into the haunted report. I've got a little bit to share with you on that. And then we're going to get into our final segment for the evening, which will be, of course, some information, delving more into the information regarding empaths, creative visualization, and also the law of attraction, as all of this pertains to manifestation. Here comes the haunted report. Stay tuned.
Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report. So I don't have much to report to you tonight, but I do have a little bit I can share. So I don't know why it took me so long to figure out that with these night vision cameras, why I just kept relying on them to feed me information about what was happening in our rooms. So in the last couple weeks, and I don't know why some of these days were worse than others regarding the amount of flying orb activity, I decided I was going to stand at my door, the door of my office, and take pictures, flash pictures. And so what I discovered, interestingly enough, there was one day it was just like, it was like a fireworks display went off in here at the point that I was leaving. So what I do is when I'm done with my work for the evening or mid-morning, because I'm a workaholic, I shut off everything and then I just leave and I walk down to our bedroom. And usually when I'm down in the bedroom, And of course, the lights are off down there. There's also orb activity that goes on, but they're coming through the back wall and the window. Sometimes they're coming on all sides and they're coming shooting their way through. Well, this time I thought, you know what? I'm going to just stand here and see what I have to see. The minute I clicked down on my camera, which had the flash on, the first thing that shoots out, of course, is the infrared, the infrared flash or whatever you want to call it. And oh my goodness, that one day there was so much flying in the air, shooting off just from seeing it in the red infrared light. It was almost, you know, horrifying. And so I just stood there and I started clicking pictures. And I clicked and I clicked and I clicked and I kept clicking. And then one decided to come right at me. Have you ever heard, and I know most of you have, when pilots are flying the airplane and then they start reporting that, yeah, and then this bright ball of light was coming at me and it was like really, really piercing and I couldn't really see and I wasn't going to, I don't think they ever did much like moving the airplane, but then at the last minute, the orb of light would whoosh, swoosh up or move to the side or veer off or something like that. So it wouldn't hit the plane. That's what this did to me. So I'm standing in the doorway and I'm flashing these pictures and this big ball of light decided it was going to come right at me. And I thought, go right ahead. I want to see if this thing knocks me over. Anyway, just before it got to, and I flashed, just before it got to me, it veered away. But guess what I got? I got it. I captured it. And boy, howdy. It is, you can see its motion whooshing away. Nice and big. Nothing small. Nice and big. So anyway, at the conference, when I'm there, I'm going to show that picture. And I'm going to say, how would you feel to have something come darting at you and then at the last minute decides to get out of the way? So I have not experienced nightmares with this orb activity. I did bring it to the attention of one of my recent instructors, workshop instructors. I cannot remember if I told you I enrolled in a psychic/manifestation courses, and I brought it up to the psychic renowned guy from England, I believe, who is well known. Now, not as well known as some of our psychics over here, but pretty well known over there. He's going to be in the U.S. next year, I guess on some kind of a tour. So that tells you how renowned he is. But I asked him the question. I said, have you ever had these intelligent-looking white, bright white pulsating orbs in your house or wherever, and what exactly are they? And the only explanation he could offer up, just like everyone else, was he said they're energy entities. I've heard this a million times, that these things are energy entities. Some people think that they're spirits of loved ones. Some people think they're, I call them trespassers, the ones that just come into your house or are passing through and they just so happen to be passing through the structure of your house. Some people think they're demonic. I don't get that sense with them at all. I've been around this stuff, and I think a lot of you have too, for a long time. But it's just what's odd about them is that they just seem to mind their own business. They fly about in the room, checking things out, looking at whatever. They used to fly into me, which bugged me a lot. I told them, if you're going to do that, would you knock it off? In my office, they show up within a few minutes to maybe 5 minutes after I shut the lights off and I leave, or they were already floating around and flying around, and you can't see them. And then they go on for about 10 minutes, and then they go on their merry way. And then once in a while, like at 3:30 a.m., they'll flit through the room or whatever. And this is the same thing that happens in our master bedroom. I haven't set up cameras yet in all of the house. These cameras are very inexpensive. They work very well. I'm very happy to have them. But on the other hand, it's just very interesting to know that they do seem attracted to a physical body with energy rather than wanting to just fly around in just whatever for the sake of flying around. It's almost like they're munching on my energy that I expel. Now, I know my last show or one of my last shows was about, could they be some form of EMF? Yes, they can be. EMF is expelled from trees and rocks, apparently, and it comes through the walls once in a while and all this sort of thing. And maybe there's an issue in the house and all this, but I'm not talking about stuff that's just emitted and just somehow makes its way. I'm talking about stuff that knows where it's going, what it's doing, how to make corners, how to turn quickly, how to pulsate and leave this EMF trail of whatever. And I'm not done with them yet. I guess that's what I'm really telling you. Sometimes I take a break and I go to bed knowing that they're flying around, you know, in my room above me or wherever, or from our bed or you name it. But even with my husband, something to do with him and I together could blow up a room. I don't know what it is about us. We work well together as Maynard and Mildred on the show. We work well together. We have just some kind of a chemistry or some kind of a empathic sensation about us that really seems to attract stuff. Did I ever mention to you, and I'm not sure, but I'll bring it up again. Did I ever mention to you that he recently had, over the summer, one of his first visual ghostly encounters in a boat that was at a museum? And he was in there by himself. I was outside. It was a 94-degree day, about 2:30 in the afternoon, very bright out. He was in there just kind of looking around. It wasn't a big boat. It was at a, like I said, at a museum. And then when I walked in, he mumbled to me and he said, "This boat's haunted." And I completely ignored him. I'm like, sure, you know, for a guy who doesn't always believe in this stuff. I said, he finally said it again when we were in the car leaving. And he said, "Well, I was trying to tell you that I had a haunted experience in the boat." I said, "But it's daylight. It's bright out. It's hot. It's everything. It's how could anything have happened in there?" So he described the gentleman. He was looking in a room and he saw the corner of his eye what appeared to be an elderly man with a long white beard that was standing in the doorway. And he thought it was just somebody from outside just kind of waiting to come into the room. This gentleman had a tan shirt on, tan pants, presumed to probably have been a worker or very attached to that boat or could have been this person's boat back in the day. He looked up, and as soon as he focused on this guy, he just disappeared right before his eyes. Gosh, talk about making a person feel jealous. So the only time that I really visually saw a ghost myself, I've had many experiences, but literally saw the image, was at that haunted bed and breakfast in Wales, I think, where the cycling mirror occurred. And we were, oh my goodness, the energy, it was just like static electricity times 1,000. And I saw this, the maid that they see on occasion in that bed and breakfast. I actually saw part of her face and her hair, and she looked exactly like the picture that I found of her online. Very fascinating. Anyway, the orb situation remains my study. My husband, again, is trying to be a skeptic believer. He will be helping me at this conference. Well, you know, so for what it's worth. And I guess the only thing that I am wondering about right now is as we enter, you know, new moon and full moon phases and stuff like that, again, whether this has anything to do with the intensity or the amount that I am seeing in this house. And if not, where did they come from? Who are they? Why are they so curious? And if they're curious, what is it about me that makes them curious? And that's where I'm going to leave it tonight. So just give me a minute here. I'm going to collect myself and we're going to get right on into our three topics again tonight, which will be delve into the empath persona a little bit more here, being an empath, creative visualization, and of course, the law of attraction. So stay tuned.
Demons, vampires, werewolves, skinwalkers, all of this and more, Sunday nights at midnight on the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
This evening we are going to talk a little bit more about empaths, creative visualization, and the law of attraction, all how it equates to manifestation. This will be the educational portion of the podcast. So recently I decided I wanted to delve into the topic of empaths a little bit more. Since I have been an empath forever, I guess, but came to realize this when I actually started this show. And so lately, I wanted to do some more spirituality work, and I had attended both the psychic and the manifestation workshops led by very experienced individuals, and had also given me something to think about regarding my own journey in trying to figure out why on earth I am the way I am, okay? Which, by the way, I may never figure out. But the first book that I was led to or came across when I was looking up some other books that were recommended by the manifestation workshop person was a book that was written by a Judy Dyer. The book is called The Empowered Empath, A Simple Guide on Setting Boundaries, Controlling Your Emotions, and Making Life Easier. And I thought, that sounds kind of like me, an interesting book. Started looking at her contents and I thought, that looks a little interesting. It sounds just like me. So this is what I have in my hands right now. Judy, in her introduction, basically says in one line, empaths feel the emotions of others from joy to pain and everything in between. Since I have had COVID, I can honestly tell you that I was an empath before, but I'm even more sensitive now. I feel joy and pain to the highest levels I can possibly think of, and because of that, I get tremendously emotional rather quickly. So just to bring you into my world a little bit on what COVID can do to somebody. It can really mess up your emotions a little bit, where most people would tell you in knowing me that I'm pretty hardcore. Kind of hard to break. We'll sit there and look at you. Rarely get emotional. Just kind of hear you out and devastating things happening and won't move a muscle. Yep, not anymore. Anytime I see something very emotional on TV, I don't care what it is. It could be everything from a toothpaste commercial. I am tearing up. It doesn't take much for something to set me off. I told my husband the other day when we were going somewhere, I said, I just want the old me back, you know, the one that never reacted to anything. But now I said, I react to everything. So it's very true that even though empaths do feel the joy and the pain from everything in between, it's also a challenge to get control of your emotions when you feel you've actually lost control of them. Judy, in this book, who wrote this book, says that human beings want to be happy and spend the majority of their lives chasing that happiness to which it brings them fulfillment. You know, I don't know where she must have known I was going to be reading this book, because I feel like it was literally written right to me. Unfortunately, she says, most people don't find happiness. They hate their jobs. They feel trapped in unloving relationships. They feel insecure and they want more out of life. Very true. Okay. She says that these unfulfilled wants, needs, and desires cause sadness and depression, and most people carry these feelings of heaviness every day. But unfortunately, she says, for an empath, not only do they have to deal with their own demons, such as these same types of things, but their natural ability to also tune into other people's feelings, which forces them to deal not only with their own demons of feeling for these other people, but trying to get their own emotions under control as well. She says, in an attempt to stop this pain, empaths build a defense mechanism around them that prevent them from enjoying life. Now, isn't that interesting? I didn't even get to this part yet, and I've already told you, 2 minutes ago that I wanted to go right back to the old hard, put the block up girl that I used to be. But this is very true. Part of the reason for this, too, is that when we feel like we're being attacked, we can feel it at a greater intensity than some people who might be able to knock it off of their shoulders quicker and faster. And when we absorb negative energy, which is in the form of pain or hostility or suffering or illness or anything like that, the feeling of enduring it is sometimes too hard to escape. And so you feel that misery and that suffering, not only for yourself, but along with the person who's dealing with potentially some tragic situations in their life. So I want to thumb through here just a little bit. One of the things that happens when it comes to connecting being an empath with being empathic, or not empathic, but wanting to manifest things in your life because you feel like you're not fulfilled. This is where the next connection goes into. The connection of being a sensitive empath, often feeling unfulfilled. A lot of us too. Some people would say, well, I feel unfulfilled and I could care less about the guy next door, that kind of thing. Yes, but when you're an empath and you feel like your energy supply is constantly being drained, it also drains a part of you, leaving some kind of a hole inside of you that you want to fill up. So the thing is then you start to say, well, gee, if I had this in my life or I had that in my life, I would be able to feel a lot more comforted and I would feel like I'm complete and I would feel better about it. But little do you realize, most people don't ever get a chance to fill up that little hole that they're trying to get at. So Judy's first chapter in this book is about understanding our energy and that once we understand the energy of which we have and lose and have to refill constantly, that we have a tendency then to pay more attention to what is happening around us, including energetic vibrations, and as well as being vulnerable to negativity, and then because of that, what it can do to our own energy field. Okay, so she says here, well, empaths are surrounded by positive energy, and I try to be. I didn't say I was perfect. An inclusive person. I try to understand people to a certain point, unless they're an energy vampire and they're completely sucking the daylight out of me. And basically, I just try to give everybody a break to be as a human being. I try, okay? My degree in college was human ecology, which is the study of people. I found people back in the day fascinating to watch. Wanted to know how they ticked. Wanted to know what set them off. Well, over time, you know, 20 years later, and then being a college professor, okay, I've had enough. Stick a fork in me. So now, what else does she say? Well, she says that empathic people like to be around and be constantly recharged with positive energy, and that includes the people that they want to be around as well. But oftentimes, interestingly enough, what happens is that when an empath is in these situations, especially if they grew up in situations where their energy was either abandoned or became reckless or attached itself to negativity, that instead of gravitating towards the positive, you gravitate towards the comfort level that you most are, that you grew up with or you're most comfortable with, which is the negative part of people. Let's see. Empaths have a deep desire to discover who they are and why they were put here on this earth. Oh, very true, very true, very true. The awakening process can be traumatic and painful. And again, sometimes it takes forever to get close to what you think your purpose was here on Earth. Okay. So what else does she have to say that's kind of interesting here? She says, physically and mentally, empaths are different. Let's see. Claims that our bodies are more porous. Well, I would kind of have to agree with that. They absorb energy into their muscles, their organs, and their tissues. That's why it's very important for an empath to be very careful about taking on careers that involve a lot of heightened emotions or dealing with clients that have a lot of heightened emotions. Because after a while, not only does it drain you, but it can actually make you sick. This is something that I learned with psychics. Psychics who constantly go at this day in and day out and feeling energy and taking energy and giving energy and trying to understand energy and all this stuff. I have known a number of psychics who have literally gotten very sick just for the profession of which they're doing, which is to help people. But again, when it comes to pain and distress and suffering and depression, empaths have a way of really knowing how to take this stuff on and then cause themselves a lot of grief. So let's talk a little bit about, Judy says, the dark side of being an empath. Sure, where do you want to begin, you know? Do you have 10 hours? Some of these things I can agree to and some of them I don't experience. She said that sometimes when we absorb the emotions of others, we have a tendency to encounter some of these symptoms. Headaches, back pain, digestive issues, anxiety, chronic depression, a weak immune system, chronic fatigue. Maybe the fatigue one. And I would say for the most part, empaths are compassionate, and because of that, they do have a tendency to attract the worst kinds of people, which are sociopaths, narcissists, and people with general manipulative characters. Now, isn't that interesting? Because, boy, howdy. Yesterday, actually, last night, I started doing some house cleaning again on some of the people that I have had in my life. And, in other words, kicking them to the curb and saying goodbye. And then I had, before I did this, I said, why do you feel the need to be around this person? What is it about this person that either that person's attracted to you or you're attracted to this person? Well, the one last night was manipulative character. And the thing is that I despise that kind of character. Once I catch on to that or figure out someone's like that, I don't want anything to do with them. I can also acknowledge that in the last year, it seems like I've picked up a few more narcissists in my life. And then most people would say, well, you're a narcissist, Kelly. And I'd say, well, I wouldn't go that far. It may sound like it, but how do you not know that that's not some kind of a defense? And people are misunderstanding that to being that, but they really don't know that there's more to that than meets the eye. Sociopaths, I'm not quite sure about that yet, but I do know one thing. I attract a lot of people to me because I have a good listening ability. I do have a tendency to actually care. And the thing is that I want to help, but I do know that taking on their issues does take also a toll on me. And that brings it to the challenges for empaths, both males and females. So we know that females can be sensitive, and we know that males can also be sensitive. Boys were raised not to cry. Girls were raised to be more stronger and to stop acting like a complete sissy at all times. But especially if you're a guy, you're not supposed to have these characters at all, because then you get labeled as a crybaby. Okay? So I would say that men in general have a high emotional intelligence, but I also can say that just knowing a lot of men in my life, they do have a tendency to get down to a point where showing emotion can actually be tough for them, and therefore they hold it inside. Let's see. I want to look at something else here. I have a feeling that I'm going to have to postpone the other two for the next time show, because this one, I'm just going through her book and certain things I'm catching as I'm looking at this stuff. And here's a chapter on coping strategies, how to cope with being an empath. Well, empaths are generally very creative people. This is what she writes. I agree with that. How else can you be creative unless you can tap into your emotional side, right? Plus, it's very therapeutic. I agree with that. And she does say you have a desire to want to save the world from its many troubles. Isn't that interesting? I have done that all my life, including being on this podcast show. You know, I don't exactly know how I help people on this podcast show. I learned when I was in law and I was as a college professor that sometimes you can try to help people because you've experienced something that they're going through. And then all of a sudden you find out that they either didn't really listen to you or it's not the type of experience they were going through, or basically it was just their choice to continue on in their situation. Well, you know, the thing is that when the day is over and we all go to bed, basically, we go to bed with our issues, our problems, our anxieties, our happiness moments too. But the thing is I don't know if anyone can ever get to help with the actual problem the person needs to come to terms at some point with what it is and take a different direction. And that's what it comes down to. Okay, let me see about this. She says, if you read any of her books about codependency, you will find the characteristics of an unskilled empath described on every page, including feeling guilt, pity, and anxiety when other people are experiencing problems. I used to feel that way. I don't feel that way anymore. The belief that you are responsible for the choices, well-being, needs, wants, actions, and feelings of others. I suppose if you're offering advice, that could potentially come up as something that comes back on you because you offered something and maybe it didn't work out so well for the other person. Wondering why they don't receive the same treatment from others. Well, we all live in a real interesting world now, don't we? If we all treated each other like each other, I don't know, it would be awfully boring, wouldn't it? We wouldn't have anything to gossip about, and we wouldn't be able to come to realize what our issues are of ourselves. Not knowing how or when to verbalize their wants and needs because they don't know what they are, and they don't view them as being as important as everyone else's. There are many, 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 many times I have put myself aside and allowed another person to receive something, get something that might be more of value or whatever. I have not and never have been a non-sharing person. So I don't know what this one's talking about, but I'm not sure it really talks about me in the present day. Doing things for other people that they don't want to do and then getting angry about it. I made a decision a long time ago. If I'm going to do things for people, in especially my family or my friends, that I have to chalk it up that was my choice and then essentially try to let it drop. But it's at the point where it gets to be expected from somebody else because they know that to be of your character. That's when I have an issue with it. And I'm sure most of you can feel the same way about that too. Feeling compelled to help people whether they ask for it or not and refusing to accept help from others because they feel guilty. Very few people offer me help, period. So let's knock that one out of the ballpark. I try to help people to the best of my ability when I'm able and can. I do go out of my way. Even if it's a stretch and it's not been asked for, I do know when it's been appreciated and I do know when it's important. However, I suppose what would help most people in life is if they preface their help with, would you like me to give you some of my impressions or my opinions about this? As long as it just stays there and doesn't get carried away. Feeling empty or useless when they don't have a problem or crisis to resolve or help someone else. That's the purpose-filled life, isn't it? Of somebody who feels like they have to, you know, bring on other people's issues to make themselves feel like they have a purpose. You know what I say to that? If you need me, you know my phone number. Needy people are always attracted to them. I'm like the Pied Piper of people. Usually I recognized that in myself a long time ago. I then began to start to change, and in the process of change, people did not like the fact that I was becoming more cold, standoffish, set up more boundaries, and all that. And because of that, then my character went from a certain, you know, lovely person you are to a big old B word. And part of that is just the fact that when you're an empath, you drain so easily and so quickly that it takes you a while to replenish your energy levels to be able to actually function in life the way you want to function. Feeling used, unappreciated, victimized, and angry. Yeah, I guess. That's the call of the beast when you're an empath. Well, I'm just going to stop there with that for now. If I've mentioned anything in that dialogue that makes sense to you, please take heart to it and think about it a little bit. If not, just understand what happens when you might be around someone who is an empath and might not be able to deal with things like you wish they could. And on that note, I will continue on with this discussion on creative visualization and the law of attraction as it pertains to manifestation in the next coming episodes. Thank you so much for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. Again, I hope to bring you some interesting guests in the future, and I hope that you learn something from this program. Thank you, and good night.